Good evening, everybody. We're back Monday night. We don't go anywhere. We are the mainstays here for the Big Footy Tiger Cast. We won't let yous down. So welcome back, everybody. Not a great game on the weekend, it must be said, but the Tiger Cast will always front up, rain, hail or shine. Hope you're all doing well out there, wherever you're listening from. CB, welcome, mate. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Going well. Apologies if I sound still stuffy and nasally, but it is what it is. Just one of those things that's getting around a bit at the moment.
Had a trail and treacher on the weekend, mate. I heard you were down my neck of the woods.
Yeah, didn't see anyone walking around in a robe from a solarium, but no, it was good. It was good. Went to Missing Links Burger, so if anyone's ever down that way, definitely head there. And that did get CB's tick of approval prior. He did say that was a very good place to go, so some very good burgers there. But no, it was a nice little drive up. It was good. So how was your weekend?
Excellent. Basically worked my balls off on Saturday so I could have a nice relaxing Sunday and treat Mrs. Blood to all the things that she deserved.
Very good, very good. Hopefully all the mums out there did have a very good Mother's Day, and the single dads for that matter. It's always an important job raising the children, so hopefully everyone had a very good weekend.
Paul West.
Paul, how's the trainer? No, we didn't get knocked off. There were a couple of shady characters walking down the street that we just didn't make eye contact with, but no, we escaped unscathed, and then we ended up in Morwell to go to one of the, there's like a wooden castle park there in Morwell, so that was a brief visit. And then every time I saw, when we were driving, every time I see the Maui sign, all I can think of is just the Geelong references, Maui by the sea. It just made me chuckle every time I kept seeing them pop up. Yeah, I'm actually feel okay. I sound worse than what I feel, I reckon. So I acknowledge I sound probably a bit average, but I don't actually feel too bad. In terms of where everyone else is, well, Tiggs, we know, was battling through his third strike. Grok, I believe, is still asleep. I reckon he's fallen asleep here because it says he was active 3 hours ago. And I suppose the news to bring to the table tonight is, sadly, EJ's had to step aside from the show for a bit, just under the pump with work stuff. So he's a bit gutted about it. And I suppose it's definitely worthwhile acknowledging that EJ definitely helped elevate the show to new levels. And he's always welcome back on any time that his time frees up to jump on and do so. So we obviously wish EJ all the best. That was a CB call, getting EJ on initially. So well done to you, CB. But we know EJ does listen on the way in to work every morning as well on the Tuesday. So still an avid listener, but he just hasn't got the time to commit at the moment, EJ. But we love and appreciate everything he's done for the show. And no doubt when he can get back on at any stage, he will.
EJ's like the Dolly Parton to my Kenny Rogers. We're just islands in the sea. That's all we are.
Yes, no, very good. Very good having him on. So that's okay. That's okay. Work stuff always comes first. It's always been our thing. Work stuff, family stuff, anything real life always comes before the show. But there's enough of us that can band together each week to make sure we get something out there as well. That's Dr. Evil.
We're hapless today, guys. We've got rid of the 5G waves. What are all the cookers we're talking about? 5G and all that shit. I don't know. We're just back to us.
All right. Well, we will delve straight into it. It was it was not a great game on the Saturday night. Did you end up getting down there at all, CB? Did you go?
No. I had for reasons you know about, the 2 weeks I was off the show, we've still got things either side of that, so I've just got to be ready to go at any given stage. So, like I said, just didn't go down there, luckily. Opted to get my own house in order for a bit.
Fair enough. Even the tinfoil hats were in there. Yes. Yeah. If I had the time and resources, I would have started the show live, walking out of Punt Road as if we just done a bit of a training session, but wasn't to be. Anyway, Saturday night, the Bulldogs took care of business pretty comprehensively. 19-19, 133 to 6-6-42 by 91 points. Look, I think it's fair to say, CB, that I feel like a lot of us felt like, not necessarily that game, but that this type of margin was probably inevitable in some instances. We could only kind of keep holding on and preventing the damn wall from bursting for so long. Does that feel about right to you? I mean, it's still shit either way, but
yeah, look, I loved on the Big Footy the Big Footy board where they had the best. It was Nick Vlosten, then others.
I did see that. I did see that.
And I'll just go this, like, anyone critiquing Adam Irzo right now, there's already people bitching about him coaching. Mate, I think our injury list is back. We lost 3 to 4 out of the seniors on Saturday night, and then we lost another 3 in the reserves on Sunday. So we lost another, technically up to 7 players. So the injury list is now over 15 again. I defy anyone to be able to coach with those type of injuries out, with the type of players we have out. So, to be honest, I don't know what more the coach can do. Everyone's critical of Thompson, Dow, and whoever else in the middle. But the reality is, I don't know what more Uze can do. I mean, you could argue maybe Samson Ryan should come in. He's playing well in the reserves. Coulthard, I'll say this. How Jack Graham come in off a 1 week hamstring and Coulthard didn't play, maybe that's something you want to expand upon. But to me, that decision was a little mystifying. How'd you find that one, Michaels?
Yeah, I mean, as we all know, there's no such thing as a 1 week hamstring. You even rewind a week further, and not even our own team. You look at Port Adelaide with Connor Rosie, who came off with a hamstring awareness. Port decided to roll the dice, and no one in their right mind thought he should play. And then, sure enough, he pulls up, you know, a couple of quarters in, and he's out for a few weeks. So there's no such thing as a one-game hamstring. We've been on record on here plenty of times saying that even the likes of Prestia, Graham, as desperate as we are to get players back into the side, to come back through the right channels to make sure their body can hold up to the rigors of football. Because it's one thing to do an extra week's worth of training and get the run in the legs, but the match running is completely different compared to what you can do at training. Whether people think you can replicate it or not, it's just not the same. And I just think we should have played it smarter and gone back through the VFL. And, you know, it sounds like they did an extra week's work with Prestia and Bolter, and they obviously got through unscathed. But, yeah, I mean, super disappointing to have another hamstring injury for Jack Graham. Like, it's just been an absolute shit show. I mean, the Rioli Jr. injury, that's just shit luck. It's a contact injury. We can't do much there. 8 weeks is still shit, though. The Banks concussion, super courage from Banks. Probably Bolter's fault, if we're being honest. But again, that's not a conditioning issue. Sonzi's wrist and Campbell's knee, same thing. Like, none of those ones are the club's fault. But it's just these reoccurring soft tissue ones, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I don't think you need to be a rocket scientist to work out that there's going to be a massive review at the end of the season, particularly with our fitness department. I think it's fair to say there should be some nervous people in that department, to be honest. And I am reading the comments as they scroll through. Certainly, I think some players put in 100%. But I would say it is questionable on others as to whether they gave 100%, because what it feels like or what it looks like, and it may not be the case out in the field, but it certainly looks like the young blokes are cracking in as best they can, but it probably looks like some of our senior blokes aren't quite putting in like they need to in some cases. Now, easy from me, I'm just a bald-headed flog in Trelgan. He's never played an AFL game in his life at that level. But I'm just saying, from how it looks, it certainly doesn't look good, some of the efforts from some of our senior players. Would that be a fair comment?
I think it's a fair comment. And I think this is where it's an interesting question to discuss and get people's thoughts on. I agree that there were definitely some players out there who were putting in an effort. And I also agree that there was maybe some where visually it didn't look like they were. And I suppose the controversial piece is Uze comes out in his presser and says you can't fault the effort of the players, which I think is what has gotten a few supporters offside, because a few people, whether they're watching live or on TV, probably felt like there was a number of players who maybe weren't putting in as much as they could have. And I suppose the one who maybe really knows the honest answer to that is Uze and the players themselves. But it's a tough gig. The one thing I'll say is I can't imagine any player would have walked off that ground thinking that was acceptable.
Well, is it okay? So let's go back. Maybe my words were slightly incorrect or wrong. Is it confidence more so than effort? So therefore, they're down on confidence and maybe we are playing. And I bet you the flip side too, like very rare that you got 22 blokes out there all 100% fit playing at all one times. So what are the odds the in the wash we're going to learn that there's more players playing crook at the moment? Because while we know our injury list is 16, what are the odds there's probably 2, 3, 4 blokes out there that probably shouldn't be taking the field but are getting needles, getting jabbed, and are playing through some pain? Maybe that's where some of the lack of effort or what appears to be lack of effort is as well. Maybe they possibly just, they're not fit.
And you're right, it could be a mental thing too. I mean, what the players have gone through, and I think it's worth noting that West Coast went through the same thing last year or the year before when they literally had players having to come out of retirement to play for their waffle side. So they're in the same boat as us. And I think the mental toll is the part that will never be, I suppose, fully known. But to back it up week after week, knowing there's no break, there's nothing else coming in, and it's just all kind of falling apart around you, it would be tough to deal with week in, week out. I know they're professionals, but they also are human. And sometimes it can just get a little bit overwhelming at some times, and maybe that's what we've seen. But yeah, it's just not a pretty sight, is it?
No. So maybe my words were poorly chosen. Maybe my second comment was more reflective and accurate than the first comment. Because like I said, I would hate to think that there's any player going out in that ground going, I ain't giving 100% today. I just don't think that's either. So
no, I don't think they would do that in a conscious manner. Absolutely not. And I saw some of the frustration on Twitter and Facebook and things like that. I guess people are looking at this through a last 30 to 40 games kind of chunk and how poor the performances have been. The one thing I want to sort of say, though, is when thinking about these last 35 to 40 games and how poor the performances have been, keep this in mind. A, it was with a coach who was mentally checked out and didn't want to be there. Two, it was also with a caretaker coach who had his hands partially tied behind his back with the way the club wanted to play versus maybe how he wanted to play. Now we've got a first-year coach and we've also got an injury list the length of Flemington Strait, and we've had the president and CEO depart. So there's a lot of instability that's been there for the last 30 or 40 games, a lot more than we've been used to over the last 15 years, really. And I just think there's a lot of factors at play here that kind of make things make sense. As much as we maybe don't want to like it, or you don't have to like it, but unfortunately it's kind of just, it is what it is. And as long as you maybe just keep some of those factors in mind, it might just ease your pain a little bit and just give you a little bit more perspective about where we're at. We aren't what we once were, but this fact is playing into why we are where we are.
Yeah. Now, speaking of stability and things like that, I will say this. Firstly, Brendan Gale, wonderful servant of the club. Loved him as a player. Loved him as a bloody CEO. He is a Richmond man through and through. He's been tremendous. Cannot thank him enough for his services to the club. I think the timing is right for him to step aside and clear the air there. And the only thing I will say, I thought it was really poor form by the Tasmanian league to do the announcement. The body was still warm. Email on the messages 2 hours later, Tasmanians announced Brendan Gale. I think that was really shit. That was really poorly handled by their PR department. And
yeah,
I think they need to learn from that and do better next time, because that was really disrespectful, I thought.
I agree. And look, it was the worst kept secret anyway. So there was nothing for them to lose by holding off even 24 hours. Like, not Richmond supporters grieve, but let everyone sort of pay their respects and send him all the messages and do all that kind of stuff. Post it on the Monday or something. There was no need to do it literally. Like, I hadn't even hit send 5 minutes prior to my message on Twitter before their one was out. It's like, Jesus, come on, guys. Like, I know everyone knew it was happening. There was no secret, but it was in a bit of poor taste. And I don't think they would have meant it disrespectfully. I think from their end, it's genuine excitement, because he is 110% the right person to do that job for them. But you're right. They needed just to hold off, and they might just take a bit of a learning from that one.
And the AFL likes its talking points. I mean, why would you announce it on a Thursday, whenever the hell it was? Why wouldn't you get through your weekend of football and then have a fresh talking point on the Monday. You know, tell your Jared Watleys of the world, your Robbos or whoever's on the payroll and say, here you go, go talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
So there was so much more they could have done with that.
No, absolutely there was. All right, well, taking a bit of a close look at some of the factors of the game against the Dogs. The one thing that stood out for me that I was really happy about until the injury report came out, pardon me, was Sonzi had 6 clearances, which was a team high for us. And I think he was on limited centre bounce attendances as well. So to see him get some good extraction numbers was really good. But then you sort of, Healy's got a wrist injury. But I really like the fact that since bringing him back into the team, they've played him in the guts where he most definitely showed his best form in the VFL.
Like I said, the kids are showing something. You know, again, like Brown just looks... Brown doesn't look like a guy who's played 10 games, does he? The way he goes.
Yeah.
I think Coulthard now just... He has to get that block. I thought he should have been in 2 weeks ago. Sorry, not Coulthard. McCall, apologies. Pardon me. So hopefully McAuliffe gets his go now for a month. Because with Taranto and Hopper out, we just do not have a big-bodied mid in there. We just don't. And unfortunately, Dusty does look sore. He looks crook. So no. I think Sonzi is now playing in the right position.
Yep.
He's not a flanker. He's an on-baller. So if he can get in there and get 10 games of experience in the middle... Fantastic. Sonzi's game was very, very pleasing. It was really, and that's an improvement on the previous week. So he's gone up and then he's gone up again, which is terrific.
Yeah, no, I thought he looked really, really good. LaFell did okay again. More specifically, I know Grock wanted to mention his time in the middle doing some ruck work stuff, which I mean, I'm probably glad we didn't chuck Bolter in there, to be honest. But I thought LaFell did okay. He's just growing bit by bit, I suppose, learning different parts of the game.
Well, this is the irony. We're lamenting a 90-point belting, and that's what it was, and we're talking about the negatives. But then the flip side is when we get a few senior boys back in there, you think about what Sonzi and even Dow, LaFau, all those guys – you think about what they and Brown, the pressure we offer them, they can play their games and be freed up again. The growth of kids, even Hugo again, you know?
Yeah. Hugo was good.
Another, when you're getting done by 90 points, you don't really have a lot of high points from players to talk about, but I reckon LaFau, I reckon Hugo, and I definitely think Sonzi were 3 to talk about. They were great.
Yeah, on a night where not many could hold their head up high. No, Hugo's, I think, really impressed a lot of people, coaches included. It's one of those things where he's got to take the most of his opportunities and you can't fault him for it. Like, he's definitely, in games where we've been horrible, he's definitely been one of the shining lights, which is, kudos to him.
Yep, 100%.
Now, Vlosten as well also tried his ass off. For me, he's probably been our best experienced player over the course of the year. Actually, Dan Rioli, I think, had a real crack as well every game. You can see that he's busting his ass out there. But the one thing I noticed with Lost and a lot of our other players, were they all wearing the wrong boots? Could we have slipped over any more if we tried? Like, is that just an oversight? The Bulldogs players obviously had different boots on to what we did because I reckon we gave, and not that it mattered, but I reckon we gave them at least 5 goals from the defender slipping over when the forward started to lead.
Not going to lie, may have thrown my phone into the side of the couch, padded side, fortunately, when I watched Jaden Short slip over.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and I was trying to work out whether, was it some new turf that had been laid and a slippery began? Well, the Dogs aren't slipping.
No, that's right.
The Dogs are slipping over. It was us. So I don't understand. Your boots are your most important piece of equipment. I don't understand. I can't explain it. I don't know. I just don't know.
It was black ice on the field. Yeah, only but it seemed like it was only under the Richmond players' feet. That was the most frustrating part.
Great call.
Oh, it was horrible, horrible.
You look, BNF, Vlosten leading the BNF at the moment?
I'd say so. I think he's probably been our most consistent across the whole year. Dan Rowley might not be too far behind, but I would agree with Vlosten for sure.
Can I just say too, and I know that the coach, he's meters gained. Can I just say, what the hell is happening with Jaden Short's disposal?
He's been started to butcher it a bit, hasn't he?
Oh, it just, a guy whose peg was so dangerous for a few years, and it's like he's, I don't know, Jay, again, confidence, not sure, but gee whiz, we need Shorty to start hitting his straps, because some of the targets he's missing and some of his skill areas, it's killing us. A guy of his experience and a BNF winner should be better.
Yeah, it's almost at the stage now where I think coming at the back line, I'd almost rather us feed it to Tom Brown and use his kicking as a weapon and get him a few more disposals and some more dangerous kicks or whatever you want to call them, because he seems to be making the most of his opportunities when he has the ball in hand.
Well, my question is too, so it used to be Rioli and Short would take the kickouts.
Yep.
Why have they stopped that?
I don't know. Yeah, I would actually love to know what the, what type of setup signifies for a certain player to take it. But you would say that Rioli and Short are our two best meter gains players easily, and it's usually on the back of those kickout set plays, really.
Jaden Short can kick it 60 meters off 3-4 steps. If you're trying to clear the congestion and get it out the back where we've got a small forward line and quick, wouldn't you want him running his 15 metres past the square and smashing it into the centre area, getting it over that initial zone?
Yeah, and that causes a little bit more chaos for the opposition too. So I'm not sure why we haven't been doing it, but I wouldn't be against Brown taking some kickouts either. The kid's got a very good weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, even though some of these kids have been doing really well, I was asked this question on message. Is there anything to be said, and it's not having a slight at Dimmer and how he went about it, but could we have been better positioned with some of these kids with some better management of the kids' game time in maybe the last 3 or 4 years? Did we become too reliant on the experience here? Did we neglect showing some opportunity when we should have?
No, I think... I don't think so. I think Hardwick had to back in the players that had given him the success. I don't think so. Look, I know there was always that thing when we were losing. It was always, oh, Hardwick plays his favourites, blah blah blah.
But even when we were winning, it's probably, isn't that sometimes the opportune time to get one or two in there for a few games? It's hard because if I'm the coach, I'm probably sticking with what works as well. To be honest.
I mean, what are you doing playing Trezise ahead of, 2 years ago, you're playing Trezise or someone ahead of Broad or Grimes, are you?
Yeah, it's a tough juggling act, isn't it? Like, I can see points for both sides as to why it would have helped and why it didn't happen.
The only thing it could have been was maybe getting two midfielders into 1 year being Taranta and Hopper. Maybe that stopped one development spot in there. Giving up that future first rounder, maybe that's one mistake we did make. But I think Hopper's actually a better player than Taranto, but we just can't get him on the field, which is so frustrating. Hopper can play; he can seriously play, but we just can't get him fit.
No, that's it. Which is super frustrating. Looking at some of the stats from the game against the Doggies, I just noted down a couple of key ones that were like, oh, wow, holy shit moments. Bulldogs players with 20-plus disposals, they had 9 and we only had 4. That I don't like that at all. Inside 50s, 41 we had, which isn't too bad of an outing, but when the opposition gets 77, that's not acceptable in any sense of the football.
Mate, we got absolutely creamed out of the guts. Let's be serious. They were literally just walking through us like witches' hats and putting into that 450 from centre bounces. It was horrendous. And So my question is this, and I'll ask this to the audience and I'll ask this to you. When we're down on midfield depth and strength, would it not make sense to play a tagger on the opposition number one midfielder week in, week out until we get some numbers around to at least limit some damage out of the middle? So if Marlon Pickett kept Christian Petrarca to 15 touches and really took him out of a game, why wouldn't you put him on Bontempelli? Why next week wouldn't you consider putting him on either Dunkley or Lockie Neal?
Yeah, just to try and stem the bleeding a little bit.
Am I right or am I wrong?
No, I really thought that we were going to go into that game tagging one of their midfielders as well, to be honest. I thought Bont, but then maybe Treloar was the one who got off the leash. And the frustrating part was it wasn't just the centre clearance work where they were walking out of it. It was even their transition from half back line. There was just gaping holes in the middle of the ground that they were able to do just a loopy handball over the top. And they had two or three plays streaming through the middle, unopposed, easy ball inside 50. And in true Richmond fashion, we've gone and made Harms look like a prime Stephen Johnson kicking four goals.
It had, just like when Petty had his one day out against us last year, and just, I mean, Harms, of all the Harms. I've actually done vomits that are more attractive than watching him play football. And I can't have it. I can't have Harms kicking goals. That's just sickening, honestly.
It was frustrating. And then to Travis's point, Ed Richards, who's usually a half-backer for them, jumps into the midfield and absolutely slays us with his speed. And that was probably the most disappointing part, is that it just felt like that no one was prepared to chase anyone out of the middle. But some of the other stats, our efficiency inside 50. So even when we did get it forward, we were going at 29.3% and our average is 41.1. So that is a scary drop off. But this one to me is the biggest alarm bells. Uncontested possession, Richmond 203, Bulldogs 308. We were minus 105. Like, that is off the charts, crazy numbers. And for me, I think that's a work rate thing, because if, or structural, one of the two, to let them chip it around. And, you know, if you're having a dirty night, it wasn't all that long ago that surely you switched to going to man on man. Just everyone be responsible for an individual opponent. If three quarters of you beat your man, we'll be half a chance. And maybe it wouldn't have happened, but shit, you can't let a team have the ball uncontested 105 more times.
I'm going to say something that could be blasphemous, but I'm going to roll with it because it was trialed a few years ago. If our midfield's decimated and we're getting smashed, you got two options here. You persist with what we've got and go, Dowell and Bolt, we're going to rotate those guys through. Or do you look at what the Dogs have done with Richards and you look at what, who was the team we played? Who was the defender for Freo that's gone into the midfield now is dominating?
Hayden Young.
So two clubs have done that. We trialed Nick Vlosten 2 years ago, 3 years ago in the midfield, and it didn't work. But could you do any worse and give Nick Vlosten a run or Dan Rioli a run through the guts? And yeah, you bring in Trezise or someone else to cover that back slot when he goes in there. I don't know.
There's nothing to lose. Like, it's, I understand why people might get up in arms about it, but there's honestly nothing to lose. Like, we've got no toughness around the ball, no defensive work. I don't know whose fault that is, whether it's a coaching thing, whether it's a young kid learning thing or what it is, but wouldn't be against trying something a little bit different. Kind of like your Grimes up forward idea that nearly came off against the D's. I know Shorty's spent some time in the guts too, but he's kind of killing the ball.
I'll tell you the other one, and he's a massive ball and we know he can run all day. Would you give Cappy a lockdown role or just give him a crack on the pill? There's no spot for him in the wing anymore.
Possibly. You know, he's got the engine to do it.
He's got the engine. He's a big boy and he can tackle. He's one of the few in our team that can actually tackle. So,
yeah.
I'm just chucking Magnus around, guys. I'm going mad scientist now because we've got that many injuries. I don't know.
And this is where losing someone like Morris Jr. hurts a bit more, because I think there was a genuine role for him in the guts from a speed and pressure and tackling perspective.
But, just answer Jay Tiger. Yeah, Blair Hartley's been outstanding. He's a big part of why we got the three flags. And if you look at the crop coming through now, you look at Brown and Banks and those guys, they look Coulthard and those kids, they look really, really good. So I would say yes, it's just more around the issue I'm coming with is the Taranto Hopper thing in the 1 year. Don't know.
Yeah, and I think Blair's done a great job with what he's had to work with. Like, you've got to remember that we have not had access to good draft picks for quite a while. And by good draft picks, I'm saying like your top 10s. I mean, Gibkiss being the last one we had, who for all intents and purposes looked like a gun player. And Clark as well. But between the recruiting team, I think they've almost been hamstrung to have to trade to try and bolster up that midfield spot. And yeah, you're right, CB. Maybe the 2-for-1 wasn't the play. But I can also understand why, if the club felt we were still in the window and they needed to roll the dice one last time, I can get it from that perspective, but I think they might have maybe just missed it.
Yeah.
But I think overall, between the drafting and the trading, I really do think we've actually set ourselves up reasonably well. We've got pretty good forward planning, especially when it comes to contracts and things like that. But unfortunately, we just don't have the names on the park. The one thing we now need, like assuming that we're going to sort of sit down in the bottom two, we need to find our next Martin and Cochin. Maybe no one will ever get to those levels, but we've got a lot of sort of B+ really good kids coming through. We need that cream of the crop A+, two of them to reboot things, I think.
I disagree. I think we do need to bottom out. Tasmania's coming in 2 years. Of all the times to have two shit years, this year, next year, are the years to do it.
Because yeah, you're not going to... Yeah. We need to get those gun players now before we have zero access to do any of it. We'll have no picks whatsoever.
We've got to get those two top 12 picks this year. And we've got to secure another one, like you said, because Martin was pick 3, Cochin pick 2, Floston and Rewalt pick 13, Rance pick 17. Edwards was, oh, I can't remember what Edwards was, but I'm just, the point being, we need to get some genuine top 10 talent in there. For a long time, let's go. Next 2 years, I don't give a shit. Let's just play the kids, get them up to 50 games, bring in some superstars, superstar kids that you don't have to trade for. Let's go.
And Chris Toast, I apologize if I say his name correctly. The new gentleman in charge of the recruiting stuff. He's got some good runs on the board with his work at St Kilda too. So hopefully, I know they had some academy players, which obviously helps their cause, but. Hopefully we can nail a couple of picks this year.
I love that. The kid I'd take from St Kilda is that Indigenous kid. Is it Wyndon Hager? What's his name?
Wyn Hager.
Oh, mate, that kid in 2 years, he is an absolute jet. He just glides across the park. So if he can nail picks like that, let's go.
What else? Do I have any other stats here? No, I think that was it from the stats. But just that uncontested possession, if shit's not working, I just want to see the players go man on man. It's old school, it's simple, but it also adds an element of accountability too. I think you actually learn a little bit more about your players to see how they cope going man on man. Like, I think zones, there's a lot of cop-outs for zones. You can say, oh yeah, but he didn't come and do this and he didn't do that. Whereas man on man, it's you versus your opponent and, you know, go head to head and see how it goes. But
We need some big boys in that mid, like, I think I did the Nelson Big Footy 2 weeks ago with the size of our midfield versus what we're up against. And Baker, Down, those guys, they're just not big. They're not. We need to get a couple of balls in there and just to put some competitive pressure in at ground level, because it's not happening.
No, exactly right. Now, what about Cumberland? Obviously, it was the sub. I was a little bit flat that he was sub, to be honest. I was kind of hoping, not that you want Baker to be missing the game of football, but when I heard that it happened, I thought that maybe Cumberland might have got a full game just to give him a bit of a crack at it. I don't think the sub role works for him just in general, but what did you make of his time on the ground? It looked like he was trying hard.
Mate, but what do you do, the poor kid?
He's coming at a shit time.
We're getting absolutely pounded. There's nothing. You can't judge him. There's nothing. What could anyone do in that situation? Seriously, so the question is, do you play him a full game this week? What do you do? Now that Morris Rowley Jr. is out,
What do you do?
Yeah, I would. I think we've got to make it. We've got to find out one way or another. And it's probably in some ways a little bit unfair for him, given how much we're struggling. I wouldn't make it a make or break on him, because it's probably not an accurate reflection. But I reckon we have to sort of say, here's a block of five games. No matter what, show us what you've got. Show us that you've, you know, earned the right or deserve the right to be a Richmond player. But
play him, yeah, as a high half forward.
Yeah, because he can, he's lead quick up at the ball. He's actually quite nimble for a bigger guy. Yeah. I think we've got to leave him in. And I am all for the Samson Ryan coming in as well. I think just to have a bit more of a genuine forward target alongside Bolter. Jay Tiger,
you're going to need it, mate, against Brisbane. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, Harris, I know. We'll get to. I can't agree with that one, Jay Tiger. Sonzi does his best work inside, I reckon. Six clearances. They led the way for us on the weekend with limited chances at the centre bounce. I think that's his bread and butter. And he can use it well. He does use it well. I'm not saying that at all. But, I think he does his best work when he's trying to find the ball.
His game in the reserves before he got recalled back to the senior team was outstanding as an inside mid. So he can play.
Yeah.
He can play inside mid.
He can definitely play. And I can't agree with your second call either. Ralph Smith has had two very, very good games the last couple of weeks. He's been one of our best performers the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's probably getting trolled. He's been one of our best performers the last couple of weeks. He's got some
preconceptions on a few guys that may not be correct at this current time, given on performance.
But yeah, let's just see some man on man. Anyway,
just on Paul West. Paul West has said, give Campbell a spell and bring in Coulthard. Campbell hurt his knee during, so there's every chance he might be the one that comes out for Coulthard in.
I'm pretty sure it said he was doubtful.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Looking at the Brisbane game coming up this week, and shitly enough for Brisbane, this is actually season defining for them as well in some instances, isn't it? Like, they've had an absolute nightmare to start the year, and like the Bulldogs, the Heat is going to be right on them. Maybe not so much externally this time, but most definitely internally, that they need to win this game to keep any form of finals football alive for them, which is not what we need, given that it's up there as well. But if we have a think about who's going to miss the game first and foremost, so we know that Maurice Rioli is going to be out. He's gone for 8 weeks. Banks is going to miss. Jack Graham's going to miss.
Who's going to miss Baker?
Did I say Baker? I meant Jack Graham.
Yeah, Graham.
So, Banks is out with concussion. Sonzi, it says test, I think. So, hopefully that's a yes. And Campbell looks almost certain to be out. So, at a minimum, we're going to have one, two. At a minimum, there's four out. Baker, you would suspect, comes back in. And you would also think that Grimes comes back in as well.
Don't do it. The back line's not the issue. We don't need Grimes back in there. We don't need him
don't
in
want
there.
Him in?
It's all our issues are midfield and forward. So you need, for me, I would have McAuliffe, Baker, K-Mac, and probably Samson Ryan to come in.
Samson Ryan, I think, is a must. Baker, a must. McAuliffe had a really good game in the VFL as well. So I think, not there's many left to pick from, but I would love to see him have his... another chance in the ones. There's been a lot of love for Coulthard as well, which I wouldn't be against either, and Smith for a debut as well, but I don't know if there's going to be any more. Do you reckon, would there be any more forced changes? I wouldn't have thought so. Surely four or five injuries is enough.
Four's enough. It's a lot. I mean, this is the thing too with Uzo. How the hell is he meant to get continuity when he's getting three or four changes per week?
But, yeah, exactly right.
Roles and doing what you want him to do. It just doesn't happen.
And to Travis's point, Green as well, he was a sneaky chance to sound like the other week too. Matthew, Trezise actually injured himself in the VFL, so he is not available. So Trezise, Kaczynski, and there was one or two others that hurt himself in the VFL that they are not available. Bauer, I'm not sure what his status is. I'm assuming, though, as soon as Bauer was right to go, I would assume CB, he will have his name on the board reasonably quickly to get a look at him.
Just depends, mate. You know, it just depends on what we've got available in 3 or 4 weeks' time, you know. But the kid is, I mean, again, it's been cruel to him. he hasn't had a chance to have a get a run at it either. So,
no,
but we just can't go. Oh yeah, he's a kid playing. They've got to have some. At least we've got to get some kids have some form in the reserves before they come back in, I guess.
No, that's right. And he's got to, I suppose, build up some genuine match fitness as well. But he will be a welcomed inclusion when he is good to go. But I'm looking at the Brisbane Lions lineup. I don't see a way how we win this. If I'm being honest, it's going to be the same. This the same issues we've had the last few weeks, just with no real direction in key forward. And this is why Samson Ryan's inclusion is going to be somewhat important if we can get him in there, because Jack Payne and Harris Andrews are just going to take an enormous amount of an intercept marks if we don't at least have two proper talls competing. So I think you've got to go Bolton and Ryan up forward to try and give us a hope to at least halve the contests.
Agree. I mean, common sense. We seem to be playing one tall forward and a hybrid in LaFau. You need two big blokes. Because I'll tell you the one thing that you've noticed by us playing just one big guy, how's our exit kick looking when we're trying to clear it from defensive 50 without aiming at Tom Lynch or a big guy? How's that looking for us?
Yeah, it's not looking great. It's like playing Ryan and Bolter, we have to just treat it like it's Ryan and Lynch. Bolter and Lynch. Like, just keep whatever their formations and their patterns were, keep it the same. If you've got someone who's a bailout kick option, whatever it might be, because we have got nothing down the line. And only having one of those targets has been a huge issue for us, because the second defender would just peel off and take everything. And like I said, I don't even care if we don't need our guys to mark everything. We just need them to not let Brisbane mark everything is probably just the crux of it. Let the small forwards try and do their thing.
Yeah. So no, we need we definitely need to bring a second tall forward in. Mate, Jones Racing, he's stolen my line, because I was going to go with that on Hipwood. If Eric Hipwood has a day out like Harms, I'll dead set spew up. I can cop a lot of things. I can't cop guys like Hipwood and Harms having days out against us.
You just know he's going to kick the first one, get up and about early. Struggle Town, Alliance Gastro. Is that factual or hope? which one's that? We need all the luck in the world. It's going to be. I mean, like we've said, our back line, ironically, isn't actually the worst part of our team. It's probably been the most stable over the past, 6 or 7 weeks. And they've just been victim of a huge influx of inside 50s due to no defensive pressure up the ground. So I have no negatives or knocks on our back line. They're just kind of, left to the walls a little bit. But in terms of matchups, you've got obviously Hipwood and Danaher as the two main forwards down there. Out of Miller and Young, who would you want going to who? Or does Broad take one instead?
Mate, to be honest, I'm not even worried about backline matchups or four. It's all in the middle. If we can't control these guys, if we can't control Dunkley, Neil, and the other blokes, if we can't stop them in the middle, this will be just as ugly as the Dogs game. We have to get some ascendancy out of the midfield, which we just haven't had for a month. We just haven't.
So they've got Cam Rayner, Josh Dunkley, Lockie Neal, Zorko runs through there as well. McCluggage on a wing.
Yeah.
Jared Berry. Like, they've got some pretty impressive names. And Oscar, the big O, I think is going to tail up Nane Curvis from a height perspective. So Samson Ryan might not be a bad option to, again, try and halve some of these ruck contests, because if we can't at least stem the bleeding there, it could get ugly real quick.
Freak.
Don't mind this from widescreen. LaFau is an inside mid. Who was the guy he cracked into on the weekend?
It was half a step.
Like, it wasn't even a big wind-up. He just exerted so much power so quickly and just leveled the poor bloke out.
I had pleasurable memories of Towner doing that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But like I said, I just think we need some big bulls playing high half forward, and LaFau playing a high half forward, Cumberland playing a high half forward, get that exit kick and then have a big bloke behind it, because at the moment, one guy, one tall and surrounded by midgets, aim. It's too easy for defenders, structured defense, to chop off. So we need some big guys to aim at, and we need to get some big, big boys back in that middle. I don't give a shit if it's K-Mac. I really don't. We just need some big bodies in there to
You just need presence. We're literally getting bullied. That's what's happening. And it's no fault of the guys that are in there. They're young. They haven't got the size on them yet that these other midfielders have. So, yeah, I agree. We kind of have to roll the dice and mix and match and get some actual presence in there and make sure our young kids aren't getting beaten up too badly. And, you know, if K-Mac did a role on the weekend in the VFL in the guts, it's not the worst idea. Let some of the young kids have a crack at the wing spot, because we need to find and fulfill that role for the future as well. So,
yeah.
And look, above all else, I think what everyone just wants to see is a bit more of a consistent effort across the board for four quarters. I mean, I know it does have the writing on the wall that it could look worse than the Brisbane Lions game. But yeah, if we can get it to within, and this sounds horrible, but if we can get it to within like 30 points, inside 30, that could be not a bad outcome, all things considered.
I honestly don't know.
I don't mean that to be disparaging either. It's just this is where we're at.
I'm gonna need to go look, see if there's any decent movies on Netflix or something, just in case it gets ugly by halftime and I have a meltdown. Look, all we can ask for is effort. Keep playing your kids. Keep Hugo on a wing. Keep Brown going. But we just need a couple of big bulls in that guts to help the more slighter, inexperienced 15-game midfielders we're playing at the moment. And I wouldn't have McAuliffe as a sub. Bucket, chuck him in. Play him.
And it's a good call. I do apologize for missing some comments earlier. Bolton needs to lift. Like, someone of his class and experience, I know it sucks that we're playing crap or whatever, but he's a lot of the older guys have to sort of really go heads down, bums up, and actually show and lead by example a little bit here, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his numbers indicate that he's out of form, don't they?
Yeah, most definitely. All right, what's your tip? What's everyone's tip, including Margin? Send them through in chat as well. We'll pop a few up on the screen. I like Tiesta, Richmond by 120. We'll kick us off. Very nice. We'll take that.
Jake Arts. Mate, who would have thought we'd be missing Jakey Arts out of the forward line? To be honest with you, I doubt Jesus Christ would get a kick in our forward line the way the ball comes in at the moment. Look, I think we're going to get done by about 70 points.
Yeah, 70. Yeah, it's going to get ugly. I'll say the Lions by about 45. It's just really unfortunate timing that there's actually so much on the line for them for this game that they are going to want to make an absolute mess of us in the worst way possible, which isn't good. Yeah, I agree with the calls about Bolton permanent midfield too. He, without doubt, does his best work in the guts. Just leave him in the middle and, yeah, when he's on, he's one of our best extractors of the ball. So hopefully he can do a little bit of that on the weekend. And he was one who was slipping over quite a bit too. So whoever looks after our boots at the club, can we please get that right for this weekend against the Lions? Because we don't need any more things going against us than what we already have, unfortunately. But anyway, there's been a lot of love for the Lions, unfortunately. But I think that's just where we're at. No, that'll be a win. That's a good call.
Mini rant. Joe Watson, you're still a fucking moron. And you're a past drug cheat moron. And I'll expand. Pre-game, when I hear Joe Watson talk about Richmond and the umpiring, they still don't get it. We're not complaining about the free kicks we give away. That's not a conspiracy. We're not talking about that. What we're saying is we haven't been getting the free kicks paid to us that gets paid against us. It's not that hard to understand. Job, I know you're as thick as a house brick. It's that simple. That's all we've been saying. So, you know, this commentary with the AFL media tried to, their commentary, they tried to flip it and make it sound like we were all conspiracy people and, oh, you know, Richard Clement. No, mate. It's just bullshit. They're just trying to degrade us and put out a mistruth out there and muddy the waters. We're not saying we're complaining about the free kicks we give away. So, If you're listening, Channel 7 or whoever else, be better. Can I also just say, Caro's gone bang on Dusty Martin. I think the tweet that was put out there on Footy Classified was something to do with whether Richmond should even offer Dustin Martin a contract for next year. And, of course, Kane Corns is involved in that as well.
Oh, surprise.
Can I just say, I mean, it sickens me, this AFL media. For years, they've wanted him to leave the club just so they could say, we were right, we told you he was leaving the club. And now, the guy was All-Australian 9 games ago. 9 games ago, he was All-Australian. And now they're going, oh, I wouldn't even offer him a contract. I mean, how big it can we not just enjoy? Can people not just enjoy? It doesn't matter if you're Richmond or not. Can we just not enjoy a future Hall of Famer? If he finishes at the end of the year, so be it. Can we not just have 12 games and marvel at everything this prick has done for football, for Richmond in general? But no, they can't help themselves. And it's just, I mean, Carolyn Wilson, now there was one, she tried to take him out of the game on Chopstick Gate, an incident that Richmond got the Victoria Police to investigate, and the Victoria Police said there was nothing to see here. And yet Caroline Wilson, if she had her way, would have rubbed him out of the game. That's the type of witch, I used a W there, could have used a B, that's the type of witch that woman is. And never forget that. So these people, just shut up and let us enjoy our own
football. It's supposedly a Richmond person. She
was savage on the club when we cut her out, mate. When Benny Gow came in and cut her out of the club, because she was a cancer, mate, a leaking cancer. And it was the best thing we ever did was shut that bitch out. Seriously.
There you go. So you did change to the B.
Sorry, witch out.
after all that. No, it's I agree. Let Dusty just do his thing. Look, I know we all hope he ends up being a one club player, and it's, yeah, there'll definitely be some humble pie to be ate if that does pan out to be the case. But just let us enjoy him. Just let the great man do his thing. So
whether he's got, you know what, just say, whether he's got 12 games left or 32 games left, he plays another, does it really matter? At 32, 33 years of age, does it really, really matter? When there's so many other football stories going on and all you can do is focus on this guy. It's just bullshit. Just bullshit. It is pure vitriol. Well, it really is.
We always generate clicks. We're just the target of all the media, rightly or wrongly. But just watch the 2019 prelim instead. Very good. All righty, well, that is a wrap for tonight. CB, thank you for joining us, mate. Much appreciated. Thank you to everybody for tuning in tonight. I know, you know, doing these pods and trying to get your head around what we're watching each week isn't always the easiest. It's not fun watching the boys lose week after week, but there are some reasons as to the why, and hopefully we provide some type of context, clarity, and or counselling-related stuff to help get through the week to week. You know, we all love the club. We want to see him do well, and hopefully we'll all, you know, get through the other side together. This week may not be the week, but we'll sure as hell have a crack. We'll have a crack. And we'll front up again next week. We will be there. We will be here Monday night again next week, win, lose, or draw. So make sure you turn up again and get behind the boys as well. I mean, I know we have a really good supporter base in Queensland, so I've got no doubt there'll be plenty of Tigers there this weekend. But make sure you get around them. Because it's easy to sink the boots in when things aren't going well, but you've got to remember as well, at times like this, the players sometimes need to have their arm put around them, even by us as supporters, and just so they know that we are behind them and we'll back them in all the way. So,
yeah.
fingers crossed for a result this weekend.
And I'll just thank Michaels. I sent him an absolute rant text message Sunday. I had a bit of a meltdown. I'm good now.
No, that's it. That's it. And feel free, if anyone else needs to rant, our inboxes are always open, so feel free to rant away. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back on Monday night. Until next time, go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Let's go. Get the win.